Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
Welcome family. Here we are on Sankofa Radio. And tonight we're going to be talking about the Free Askari movement. And we wanted to bring some information to you on this brother that they have him in solitary confinement. And we're definitely, there's definitely a violation of his constitutional rights. So we're glad that you were able to join us today. And we're going to start talking about that. To start off with, as many of you may or may not know, on last Friday, he was transferred from Buckingham facility. He was advised on Thursday that he was not going to, that he needed to pack his things up because he was going to be transferred. Of course, they didn't let him know where he was going to be transferred to, but, we decided that we would go through everything we could in our power to try to stop that from happening. So myself and his queen got together, got a bunch of people together to call in and go against, to go against the grain a little bit and to start, put a little bit of waves in the ocean to try to see if we could stop his move. And we were advised by him that they came to him and asked him about having us to stop calling. They told him, we had, from what I'm understanding, we had over 300 people call in, basically just showing some support and showing some concern about the fact that they were trying to, transfer him. They asked him if he would stop them, stop people from calling. And, of course, Askari being the man that he is, he told him, hell no, he's not doing that. He gonna make sure that, he said it was his freedom of speech and that was his expression and he was going to ride with it. So, to my understanding, after, that went down, what disturbed me the most about that whole situation is the fact that after they asked him about, having us to stop calling, he got engaged in a conversation with Bridget Grant. I believe that's her name, Bridget Grant. And she basically told him that he was going to be transferred because she felt like he played a major role in the participation of organizing a work stoppage, which of course Oscar had nothing to do with. So I personally feel like based on the fact that he's very outspoken, he's the type of man that pretty much looks out for people. He knows the law real good. He's going to stand up for you. If you're going through some stuff, he's going to make it his business to try to let you know the best course to take for that. So, as you know, basically on the 1st, like I said, he was coming from the law library. He was stopped by an officer by the name of Officer Harris and told that he was going to be transferred. And, you know, it basically took him out of his comfort zone. And he's, like I said, he's not just the type of man that's going to stand and allow you to just do anything that you want to him. So, oh boy. So after he ended up talking to the chief of housing, again, her name was Bridget Grant, she said that she wanted him to get his family members and friends to stop calling because they had received in excess about 300 calls. And within the span of an hour, and he said that he found it kind of funny that she wanted him to stop doing something, even though he felt like she was violating his rights. You know, he has not been in any type of trouble. His record is good. It's just basically the way he describes it. If you look at his prison record, it's basically telling the story of a man that was 18 years old when he went into prison and who's 37 years now, who's educated himself through obtaining knowledge, a multitude of certifications and different things like that. So for them to basically target him and try to put him in a position to say that he's the ringleader for a work stoppage, it was not only unjust, it was a bunch of bullshit. So that's basically the sum of why we're here today, because now that they have him, once they transferred him to Augusta Prison, they moved him directly into solitary confinement, and they didn't even give him, you know, no reason. He hasn't been charged with anything. He's just basically was put into solitary confinement, told that he would be there until that following Tuesday, and that he would go in front of the investigators because he was being investigated as the key players in this work stoppage. So they put him in the solitary confinement. He didn't have any of his property. He didn't have access to the phone or to notify anybody, really, to tell him, you know, to let anybody know what was really going on with him. But like I told you, he's very, very good at making the best out of a bad situation. And so he managed to have someone contact us and let us know what was going on with him. And basically, Tuesday rolled around. He went in front of the investigators who, again, still did not charge him or anything. Basically just gave him another 15 days that he's going to sit in solitary and wait for them to decide that he needs to be out. And we're definitely not okay with that. So, so it has basically been brought to my understanding that what they're doing to him is definitely against, it's unconstitutional because he hasn't been charged and they've placed him under disciplinary segregation without any kind of privileges, and that's just basically illegal. So, you know, I'm definitely reaching out and asking for some support in this matter and have people, you know, to reach out, call the prison, try to figure out what's going on, ask them where the documentary evidence is to show cause on why he's being detained, because they have to give him a charge and to be able to provide their evidence, and they can't do that without having him charged, which they know that he's in there illegally. I gave a call to the prison earlier today and spoke with the warden's secretary, who basically, when I asked her, you know, like, why is he in there? When you know, what is he being charged with? You know, she gave me a whole bunch of excuses on I could call, she could put me over to the guidance council, or she could do this or she could do that. But at the end of the day, like I said, what they're doing is unconstitutional. They don't have any explanation as to why they're doing it. I don't know. Personally, I think maybe they just kind of trying to wait for this to, for the knife to pass and this whole work stoppage thing to come to an end, so that he won't basically have the, you know, they, to see if he's going to play a major role in it. But here's the crazy thing about this. With this work stoppage, this is something that is taking place nationwide. This isn't something that just occurred at Buckingham Prison, so there's no way in hell he single-handedly got the whole nation to decide to stand up and do a work stoppage. Not saying that he couldn't. I'm just saying that he didn't. And, you know, basically, just to give you a little bit of insight on what this work stoppage is about, it's about, you know, a fight against slavery that's taking place here in America, pretty much, you know, in the prison system. I mean, you have these guys in there, you're working them like they working, like they out here in the street working, but you ain't paying them anything. And then the cost of everything in the prison system is just ridiculous. I mean, they can barely afford to that were basically just, you know, one of the things that stood out to me that shocked me the most was the fact that he once advised me that he had to work 2 hours to afford one pack of ramen noodles. And to me, that's insane. Like, just the whole concept of trying to understand a person going to work and working 2 whole fucking hours just to get one pack of oodles and noodles is just insanely crazy to me. But going back to this work stoppage, it goes all the way back to the 1970s when the U.S. prison system was crumbling in Walpole, San Quentin, Soledad, Angola, and many of the other prisons. People were standing up and fighting and taking ownership of their lives and bodies back from the plantation prisons. So for the last 6 years, they have remembered that struggle. In the interim, and the prison population has ballooned, and technologies of control and confinement have developed into the most repressive and most sophisticated systems in the world. So you got to understand, like, this is just modern-day slavery. This is the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, where it maintains that it's a legal exception for you, for people to continue to be slaves in the prison system. I mean, I don't know how, you know, that's not even logical to me, the fact that, you know, you make an involuntary servitude as a punishment legal under the terms of the prison system. So I'm definitely, something definitely has to give with this, because it's almost, you know, like I said, they want to say that he's heading this and he's starting this, but when you really, what gets me is the fact that they're not even looking at the fact of why this work stoppage is hanging in the balance. They're looking at this, they're just looking for somebody to blame, and they chose him because of the influence that he has on a lot of people, you know? So we definitely ain't okay with that, you know? So give me a second here, and we're going to go to some music and take a quick song, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this.
Want to dedicate this joint right here, Jonathan Jackson and George Jackson. Peace to those brothers. Want to shout out my man Sherman the Worm, 80 years. Come on, niggas. Come on, niggas. I just burnt my American flag and sent 3 cracker Nazis to hell, and I'm sad. I'm loading tests in my mag to send these redneck bigots some death in the bag. Choke him out with his Confederate flag. I know these devils are mad. Little rap fans that live way out in safe suburbia, would you stand with me? A United States murderer, huh? Would you testify? You buy my songs. You buy my songs, but will you ride with me? You understand my struggle. That's what you claim, right? And get your aim right. And get your game tight. Don't buy my songs, y'all don't roll with it. Coming to concerts singing ho and shit. Fuck y'all little ho bitches. I don't need y'all, I go gold with it. I heard y'all was downloading it. like I'm y'all man who be exposing shit. Like William Cooper, who told you the pale horse is the future. Would you testify with some realness like that? I think you scared. I don't think you prepared. Yeah. You know what I'm asking you? Do we know what I'm asking you?
Wow. Wow.
I just want to first, I want to give thanks to the sisters that's holding on. Damn, man, Juwan and Nicole, man, y'all doing a great job for the brother.
Thank you.
I'm the guy, Righteous Arvell, right? And I'm one of his close brothers, comrades in here, man, that we've been holding it down, thinking, bouncing ideas off each other for a long time. And within that moment or within our ability to grow and to develop into who we are, it's a lot of, you know, obstacles that comes our way. You know, I've been through a lot, man, in this political institution, institution politics, and they give you a bad ordeal of how they want to carry it or how they want you to be institutionalized or perform. And one thing I know about Oscar is he's not conforming. And this is the reason why maybe he getting the backlash. You know, he just like George Jackson, Nelson Mandela, man, and the other brother, Jerome, and the other brother that has been locked up and really has been over-sentenced or sentenced according to racial disparities or unjust circumstances. And when I say that, it's because when you sentence outside your guidelines or outside legislation guidelines, basically you are an example. They set examples on you, or they try to make it seem like this is what they gonna do to make your cause just because of the color of your skin. Just you're not gonna get the same time as a white man. So George Jackson said that any black man would be a political victim. It's just because he's not treated with the same equal justice. And this is what is what's going on with him. So he has a right to be upset. He has a right to always move and to fight for his liberation every single day of his life. It should never be a time when you come in this prison and you're not fighting for your rights. You know what I'm saying? Nelson Mandela even said, like, when he come in prison, like, you won't fight. You won't do everything. Every day of your life should be trying to get out of here. Incarceration, man, you know, no matter if you're black, a black man or a black woman, basically, man, you don't have equal justice according to law. You know what I'm saying? And it's and to be a political prisoner is basically, man, to fight for your rights. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Because your constitutional right to having a fair trial has been violated all the way around the board. The judicial procedures, your constitutional procedures, and your the violation of your human rights has been violated every time you get sentenced past the guideline, because they're not supposed to violate your guideline. They're supposed to go within the statute of what you are, so therefore this is the thing that's happening. And as a people or as an individual, we have the right, the constitutional right to fight that. That's politics. If you challenge any policy or the norm, even down to ancient history, we have a right to fight for our right or our human rights or our moral rights. We have a right to go against that. That's political principle. That's political anything. So therefore, how can you be a rebellious or a radical because you fight politics? Politics is being educated. It's being aware. It's standing up for yourself, your rights, and for your people. You know, and Oscar did that. You know, one thing I can say, he's smarter than some demonstrations, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
His goal was to uplift his people from a mental societal state of being to an Afrocentric consciousness. This is what he was trying to do. This is what he was trying to build amongst his community. This is what I've seen him do. This is what anybody that knows him do, because he very well is Pan-African all the way. He's a Pan-African.
Right.
Because he really believes in Pan meaning all, one or one. And Umoja, that's Umoja. Umoja is the principle of God, that's all that we do. This is what he's about. This is what he breathes. This is what he believes. And yet, you still have people that would snitch on him.
Yeah.
Would actually lie to get him out the way for no reason. These
for
are
no
the
reason.
Things that we got to deal with. A snitch culture is basically the production or a scheme of mass incarceration, because just like killing two birds with one stone, they get two niggas with one arrest. That's how
mm-hmm.
they feel. That's a snitch culture. You can tell
yep.
them, man, do you know we put more people behind bars than the government? Our own people put more people behind bars than the government. Because of the fact that if you catch me, I'm going to tell on you, and then you're going to tell on you, and then you can bend the laws for a cooperation, but you can't bend the laws when it comes down to getting somebody out of the jail. You see what
right.
I'm saying? These are the
Definitely.
Things that we got to get past, man. Listen, these are the things that's hurting us. We can lie. Anytime they would take a lie, like what Garvey going through, a lie, and believe it, just to get a person locked up, show you that his life don't matter, our lives don't matter, black lives don't matter.
Right.
And that's what it's showing. Because of the fact that it's so easy for us to go through that, man. We got to start putting value on our own selves, man. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why, you know, even our own Senator Jim Webb once said that, you know, it's, even though we make up 13 or 12% of the population, we account for 37% of arrests or based on drug charges or arrests and violence, 59% of convicted, and basically 74% is in prison. These are
right.
the things that we be building on in our structure, in our class, in our program, because we got to let people see. This is what a scar.
Thank you for using GPL.
We've been letting people see the racial disparity. We've been letting people see what's going on inside the prison and outside the prison. This is what he built on. He built on being,
right.
you know, a part of a victim. He being a part of being a war. We are attacked as a people, man. We are in a war. They declare war on us since the 60s, man. First it was a war
right.
on poverty. Then it's a war on drugs. Then it's a war on gun violence. Everything was attacking the black subsidized community.
Yep. And that's
you know what I'm saying? So because they know this where poverty is breeds crime, and they figure, well, all the criminals are going to be where the poor people are. So between
right.
blacks and poor people, this is why 65% of us is locked up. 65% of the American population is black that's in prison. So you tell me it ain't a war against us. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
we are facing it every day in here, man. Shawana made a good point about the work, the reason why the work side was even forced about, because 27% is slave wage. That is like
right.
1% of minimum wage in society. You giving us 1%, you giving us less than the third world countries get in there in them foreign when they be dealing with Mexicans or dealing with Indian people that's actually working or doing it, what you want to call it, mass production for a company. They making more money than us. We are in a situation where mass incarceration, where the slaves, where they getting more money off the shareholders, or AKA slave owners, because of the fact that they are getting I don't care from a houseman to the industry to actually making license plates, making whatever we're making here, stairs, tables, whatever. They get tabs up, so that means that they are getting their percentage of our whole. So we ain't getting but a small 1% of nothing, which we could basically
right.
be working for free. Because we got, first of all, we are indigenous people here. First of all, we are should be held under a senative law, because we are everything that somebody do for us or gives us a donation, because we're not even counted in the census, bro, because we are not considered. We are taxed up. So this means we're living off their capital. So every time somebody do for us or do anything for us is donation. So when you telling us that we are innocent people, how can you think a paycheck was going to take care of us, that you
right.
give us in here? That's just giving us to live. That's just making us, basically giving us enough room to survive so we won't starve to death, so we can continue to work. This is what they do. So therefore, yes, we do have a reason to be mad about being slave or being enslaved, even if possible, because the 13th Amendment backs it up. Their Constitution backs it up. Being a servitude, being punished
mm-hmm.
by is considered a voluntary servitude. So this is what servitude means. We are involuntary servitude by every time we work for these bullshit paid slave wages. So
right.
we got to start understanding, man, ourselves and who we are. And these are the things that we got to start doing for our, besides our people in the street. We got to make more of this work. Because our miles about this is what we building. We trying to have some type of relationship to the people in the street to show that we're not dehumanizing here. Stop making it seem like we are scum of society just because we get locked
right.
up. Some of us are actually not just innocent, but we are with victims. We are victimized of mass incarceration. That means that anything that through poverty and all that breeds that through the design systematic system that causes us to act this way. So when we out here inside doing what we do to survive or to feed our family, which you're right, in some cases we don't have to do, but the people who are born and raised in that was actually designed to be born and raised in that.
Right.
So that means that when we come to prison, it's not because we were so savage and we ain't had them. No, it's because this is what it is. We ain't provided. White people get treatment. They get drug
right.
treatment programs. They get rehabilitated treatment, no matter what. And they do more crime than us.
Statistically, yep.
they are doing more crime than us, but they're getting all the benefits. We're getting all the programs. We just get locked up and get the key thrown away just because we're black. So that means that we have a problem in society. We have a racial problem in society, and that causes us to have a mental or unjust treatment for the behavior modification. How you gonna have a behavior modification behind these walls, and you can't even give us the proper medical treatment or mental health treatment that we need to get us out this psychological warfare? So
right.
these are the things that Scarvin was built. These are the things that he had to get himself off, like Schwab was alluding to, about self-educating himself. He actually had to be self-educated because there was nothing else around us for rehabilitation
right.
or to give us this type of black awareness. He had to be self-educated. I was self-educated. I had older heads and elders come pull me up, but for the most part, I had to go to the books, go to the libraries, and get without no money, got the same education that a college graduate would get. Because of the work and hard ethic that I wanted to do for myself. And that's so it was sorry. He did all this work and put in his effort, and now he's putting his and pouring his heart to his people, and this is the thing he gets. But
yeah.
as Kwame Corbin said, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael, he said that if you sacrifice for your people sacrifice for you. So
yeah.
he's not going to stop. You see what I'm saying? He's not going to stop. He's going to continue to be who he is. He's going to continue to do what he got to do. I love him for that, and I'm going to love him for the end because that's my brother. So everybody that says that they care about anything, stop putting value on your brothers and sisters, man, because this
right.
is why it's so easy for us to kill each other, because we ain't putting value on each other. Put value on your brothers. Know that they for real. If your brother say he stand for something, give him the benefits out till he prove otherwise. If he gonna stand for something, work, do some form, show the sacrifice that you got, show the hard work, dedication that you do also. Because everybody has a purpose in his life, no matter being in prison or somewhere else. They have
right.
a purpose, man. And if he's fulfilling
right.
his purpose, then you're supposed to be a blessing for that, some kind of way down the road. It's a blessing for somebody fulfilling their purpose no matter what they did. Because that's
right.
what redemption is all about. There's no such thing as redemption, or it shouldn't be a such thing as redemption if we can't redeem ourselves. So we got to have some type of light behind this darkness that we're living in, man. And this is what he's got to go through. Right now, he's living, he's thinking, and he ain't doing up a plan to get himself even better, sharpen his sword, because this is not over. The fight doesn't stop. You know what I'm saying? He's, like I say, he's bigger than a demonstrator. He's beyond that. He's trying
right.
to go home. He's trying to get SK. He want to go out there and teach the youth. He got plans and goals. Man, listen, they can't stop that. They can try
nope.
to stop that, but they can't stop his goals. So this is the thing that we got to understand, man, that we need this brother out. All these political brothers, man, that's been fighting so long for us, man, for our education, for our well-being, man. And as long as we got the soldiers and soldiers out there working, man, in here working, man, we're going to always have unity, man. And we ain't nobody gonna stop our unity. Peace.
Yeah. You know, you raised some very valid points there. Because you're right, like you said, that pretty much there's no rehabilitation going on in those prisons. They're basically just warehousing you guys and throwing you in there and then expecting you to do what you say. And then when you don't bow down and do what they say, then they want to punish you by throwing you in the solitary confinement and, you know, spray you down with some pepper spray and all kind of other stuff. So definitely, and as you stated, Asghari is bigger than that. You know, this isn't just a movement to him. This is his way of life. This is what he fights for every day. Like, I've never seeing somebody, anybody with so much passion for the people in my life. You know, it's contagious because he ignites the fire in me and got me out here ready. You know, I'm fighting for the people because I can see the bigger picture through him, you know, through him. I can see the bigger picture. So it's just crazy to me, you know, how, like you stated about people snitching and trying to, you know, trying to get you out the way for nothing instead of trying to be, you know, unite and fight for the same purpose. I mean, because you think these people in here who try to throw them under the bus, you think they wasn't in prison. They think they free. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't even see the damage that's right. they doing, you know? And that shit is absolutely insane to me. But, you know, going back to this work stoppage thing, you know, there's a saying that I love that I know that I've heard Ascari use a couple times too that says, if you don't stand for something, you're going to die for nothing. And that's what it all boils down to. I've heard him say on more than one occasion that he'll die for this. He'll die trying to liberate our people, you know? And that's a mouthful in itself. So the fact that, you know, they threw him in the solitary and thought that they could just throw him in there and people was going to forget about him. It's insane. Like, I know me personally, like I said, I call up there every day. I know Nicole calls up there every day. And I put out, you know, I challenge other people to call up there every day, you know, because they need to understand that you can't just do this to our black men, period. Not just him, but period, you know. You hear all these women out here that's complaining about the shortage of black men and how there ain't no good men left. Of course it ain't, because all of them in prison. And that's the sad thing about it. It's like, but of course we've been brainwashed to fear people that's in prison. Instead of seeing the conditions and things that put them in there, we quick to point the finger and we think, oh, you know, we see them and view them as like they're their crime. And that's part of the issue that we're having also is the fact that we've been conditioned to believe what we're being told. We don't question anything no more. We just kind of go with the flow and just let shit happen the way it happens. But this ain't new, even with this work stoppage. This ain't new because for years, there's always been different demonstrations and things going on across the nation. You know what I'm saying? Like, prisoners, you know, I think not too long ago at Red Onion, they did like a hunger strike. You know what I'm saying? Because these are people that's getting tired of this shit. You know, they're getting tired of it. So it ain't like this is just something new that just popped up and people just started trying to grasp onto it. You got to understand that there's a need for these things. Why do you need a work stoppage? It's not like you guys are getting paid and being able to function off of what they're giving you. There's actually, ain't no way you can't look at that and see that they got slavery written all over it. And at some point, you get tired of that, you know. They can't run the facilities, the prison systems, without you guys. So doing a work stoppage is going to shut their shit all the way down. They ain't going to have no choice but to take notice, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, the coalitions that actually reach across America, you know, going all the way back to Attica, where this actually the work stoppage thing began at, you know, those times were real trying. You know, you had people that were just refused basically to say, you know what, we're not going to do this shit no more. We're not going to be slaves anymore, you know. And in order for us to achieve this goal, we're going to have to support. We're going to need people from the outside to help us, and we're going to need to unite and help each other in here, you know. So that is what this was about, you know. But, again, you know, to point the finger, like I said, he hasn't been charged with this. They haven't. They had no proof that he did this. They basically just took something, ran with it, said, "Oh, we choose him because somebody else said," you know. And again, it's just his thing, but he's being penalized for it. And like I, you know, every day, I don't care what it takes. I'll make noise every day because what I'm not gonna do is just sit by and just pretend that this shit is gonna go away or that it's okay because it's not. You know.
Yeah,
my biggest protest against the whole prison slavery thing is that it's basically, and people don't see it this way, but it goes to that whole school to prison pipeline. You know what I'm saying?
You have
a protest
one
against
minute.
Police terror and a protest against post release controls.
Sure.
When you abolish,
I would tell you this phone. I gotta go. Yeah,
right.
You know, times like that's with us in here. But I was just telling y'all peace, man, and y'all keep holding it down.
We'll hold it down. Thank you for calling in. We definitely
appreciate
it. Love you, brother.
Peace. Love y'all too, man. Peace, man. Peace to everybody, brothers and sisters out there. Bye. Peace.
All right. All right. And so,
thank you for you.
They're locking up our black men and they're locking up our children, and they're building traps to pull us back into this system. Because, like I said, that's the whole idea of mass incarceration, is the fact that it's like a magnet. They're just slamming and pushing us back into this system. And when you remove the economic motive from it and all this forced labor that's going on in the prison system, then the entire structure, the courts and the police, that's out of control. And the slave catching got to shift, and they got to accommodate us as humans rather than slaves. When you look at prison, it impacts everyone. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's not my father, it's not my brother, it's not my husband, but prison impacts everyone. Because when you stand up and you refuse to take it anymore, you're saying something all the way across the board, and there's got to be some kind of change. You know what I'm saying? It has to be some kind of change. As he sits there in solitary confinement, they took him away from a lot of the positive things that he was doing at Buckingham Prison. Like I said, he used to head up to, like Brother Righteous said, he used to head up the Pan-African class, and he was teaching brothers and liberating their minds so that they could actually see coming out of prison and actually being somebody, as opposed to just sitting in there doing this time and letting this time through them. You know what I'm saying? And it's tragic that you would pull a brother that's so positive from such a positive situation, who had a positive influence, for just the gain of not wanting, you know, for her to ask him, she asked him, why are you concerned about everybody else's, what everybody else is doing? She said, basically when he had a conversation with her, and she, after she made the accusation that he was actually heading up this whole work stoppage, I guess she got a little bit in her feelings, because he, you know, like I said, he's very voiceful, and he was just not going to let that just go by like that. And so she stopped him, and she asked him, like, well, how is it your business? You know, why is it your concern to help the prisoners protect their rights? And he basically told her it's everybody's responsibility to make sure that the rights of all American citizens are being protected. And he told her, you will never understand this until your rights have been denied, like you deny ours on a daily basis. And so ultimately, he ended up still being transferred to the Augusta Correctional Facility and placed into solitary confinement. And we as a whole have got to not let this go. You know, we're going to have to – everybody need to group together and call in and let these people know that he does have a support system. Let these people know that we're not going to stand for it. And let these people know that at the end of the day, I am my brother's keeper. You know, I am my brother's keeper. And you cannot – pull the wool over our eyes, and you cannot turn us against each other, and you will not, you know, keep pushing us out of the loop. All right, we're going to go to another song here. Peace and solidarity.
Yeah. It's taking a lot for me to give y'all all of me. Y'all to take it and run with it and turn it into some shit that it's not. Yo, exceeded my expectations a while ago. They wondering why this he the one that's always smiling for. I listen a lot and look at everything I done accomplished, man. To my baby girl and son is the main thing that I value most. Family, fuck a zanny, I'm puffing on this flower though. You piece of shit, no thing, we keep it lit. No heart feelings, don't ever change, don't ever quit. When I found out living legends still exist, I knew I had to commit. So I heard that this new generation was waiting on what waiting after on. The golden age, these old heads been praying for me to get involved, maybe vent to y'all and make an impact. Better plant a seed and water that bitch and watch it grow. Man, how many times I gotta say that I've been down and out, but you only get so many chances till you're fouling now. And I'm like, let me live without taking no breaths. My mind is focused on which task I'm gonna take on next. I think back when I just hung with my dogs. My mama could never keep a man cause we was running him off. Neither the father figure, but I don't like how he coming across. He end up gone, she was sad, but I felt like that's his loss. I told her, never bend your head, look the world straight in the eyes. You deserve love, but a queen don't need a king to survive. And it's a blessing to be able to rap and not feed your lies. Or fake my happiness like everything's just fine. I mean, we all human beings, but we not alike. Cause the loudest on the internet get to sleep through a quiet night. It's a big difference and it's teaching me a lot about who we are, I like. Money don't change people, it just bring out who they truly are. Man, I done seen the most from coast to coast. They got us crossing over the borderline. I don't got all the answers, but we need to be more organized. So here's a little enlightenment for your peace of mind. Everything you need in this life you live will come at the perfect time. So God bless America.
One loyalty, they can't take that from us. No matter what runs through our blood, we have the power, we just like to trust. Just have your faith and believe. Keep calm, my young kings and queens. Watch and you'll see. And when that day comes, may God bless America.
Follow me through the hardship. Pardon my need to be swift with how I spar this speech. Who you more like, Malcolm or Martin? The game that they play with us, brother, don't have no cards. But master, the Zaza Castle, they ass backwards. I might slave for a meal, but you ain't my master. Running through the field, all I hear is laughter. Could them chain that kept us here can no longer capture. The heart of my folk, foot on the throat of my oppressor. For all of them broke, they tied a tree for my ancestors. If limbs could talk, they cry for days. Sad, they gave all they had, but couldn't break under pressure. Blood on the leaves, like on the dresser. Them law applied, protect and serve, but I know better. The news a lie to you and I. TV ain't real, so don't you try to be like none of them housewives. Selling us fools gold, telling son to slang dope and daughter twerk when they get old. Damn shame. How we find time to sit around smoking and drinking? Why they corporate banking? Don't be content with the hood. Nigga, what are you thinking? I got a small violin if you don't vote for complaining about the government. Stand up on some brother shit. Stop being on some other shit. God bless America.
Despite all the barriers, if you do whatever you do every day, you can get it. I did it. From the poorest, I said I gotta push for all of my dreams and they flourished. And
all right, and welcome back, family. Peace and blessings. So I'm going to end this with an open letter to the black men out here, and then we're going to call it a night. Before I go, though, I do want to say, you know, free of start, also prison lives matter, and to make sure that we as a whole understand that he is being held unjustly. You know, he is not his crime. And like I said, though he does things as democratically as possible. What he's under right now, this oppressive system that he's being held under, is just basically all hearsay. Dear black man, you are my brother, my father, my son, my nephew, my uncle, my husband, and my friend. I understand your pain, and I know you get weary from all the injustice, because I do too. We don't always get along because of the frustration and confusion from oppression that has accumulated over the last few hundred years. It's starting to take its toll on us, and sometimes we take it out on each other. Our communication has been interrupted by the sounds of gunshot, imprisonment, poverty, prayers, and the preacher man. We have had to fight against, and we don't have much time for healing. We have to convince this world and sometimes ourselves that we deserve basic human and civil rights. I know we have to deal with the lynchings, police brutality, and undereducated children, but at the same point, we have to have this conversation because we need each other, and we don't want to lose you. We are supposed to be a family. I'm sorry that the world tries to make you believe you're inferior, because you're not. I'm sorry they've convinced you you're worthless and your life doesn't matter, because you are worth more than the world, and you mean everything to us. I know you have to fight to stay alive, but please talk to us, because I am the one that needs you to stay alive. I need you here because I want you to be my friend. I want you to be my companion, my educator, my protector, and my confidant. I admire your desires to be great, and I love your power and intelligence. Your ability to sway with life's rhythms and survive despite the apparent disregard for your existence means you are truly royalty, and I know your thrones have been stolen from you. You have not let me down. Quite the contrary, you have made us proud. Your strength inspires and encourages us to keep being strong. It may seem like I'm not listening or that we don't understand because we're so hard on you sometimes, but we're really just afraid. We want you to be safe, and we become enraged when we think you're in danger. We get so frustrated and angry because we see your potential and we know the obstacles that they place in your way, and it's not only unfair but oftentimes impossible to beat. So as we search for the patience to deal with these systems of injustice, be patient with us. Be kind to us and open your heart to us and let us
Let us be your strength and to allow us to see your pain. We will not judge your mistakes. We will not think you are weak. And if we see you, cry, we'll be there to wipe your tears. But we understand, and we're here to comfort you. And once you have released the pain and anger through tears, we will build you up so you can be strong and face the world. The world seems to be so fearful and intimidated by you, black man. And I'm sorry that they treat you like they hate you. I know there are not many people you can trust, and with good reason. But I promise you can still trust us. We are your sister, your mother, your daughter, your niece, your aunts, your wife, and your friends. We love and adore you, and we'll always have your back. You can talk to us. Always yours, a black woman.